Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking about podcasts, talking about demolition podcast, a podcast. It's a podcast, and you're listening to it with your ears, and we're talking it with our mouths.
Talking it with our mouths.
Talking it with our mouths.
Listening to it with your ears.
It's Two Chunks, and I'm Jordan.
I'm just a man. You're just a lady.
I'm Doge. Knock, knock.
Who's there? You have to say it too.
Yeah. Who's there?
Yeah, I need it from everybody before I can proceed. Butternut.
Butternut who?
Butternut who?
Butternut try to pick up a skunk.
And who's the third person?
Because he'll spray you with his stinky...
And who's the third
he'll
person?
He'll spray you with his stinky ass.
Which one's the third person?
I'm Carter, and...
Now you gotta tell me how to use those damn shells.
Oh, man. I gotta tell you, I am glad that Sly Stallone was born, personally.
Sure,
I am glad that Sly was born. There's other people out there, it turns out, that have been born, which is so interesting to me. And I'd love to unpack that with you guys today. In a game called... I'm trying something new. It's called A Star Was Born. Not new at all. This may be top three. Got to be one of the most played games we've played on this podcast.
Yeah, for real.
Because it's as simple, friends at home and listeners, as... jumping over to IMDb, looking at the birthdays for today, and playing this game. If you ever want to play along, or if you ever want to do it yourself, A Star Was Born uses three actors or actresses, and hopefully they're all born on the same day. Sometimes you got to jump around if you want to make it more fun, because this game could be so hard if you wanted it to, because IMDb is sharing everybody's birthday. But usually I try and make it someone who these guys might be more familiar with. We'll talk about how many credits they have. I'll let them know X amount of credits, and then they have three random shots within that credit pool to try and guess whose birthday it is. Today, we are going to do a bit of a share here. We are going to do a bit of a...
Oh, I guess share.
Not just
for the
today.
First one. Share.
It is share.
It's share.
There's Lock been so in. Many times I've let it slip. And just giving stuff away, and it really hurts. It really hurts the effect.
Do you believe in life after birthday?
I sure hope so.
Oh, I try. I almost said it. Never mind, dude. I was like, so Will Forte. That's his birthday. Happy birthday, Will. His birthday was yesterday.
It makes you feel better. I didn't even catch the slip, so.
That's fine.
I thought you said wheel. I like W-E apostrophe L-L.
We will. Like, yeah, we will
that's
together.
I thought so too. Mm-hmm.
Well, That's too bad.
Well, Forte. Lock it in.
Well, Forte.
Wheel Forte.
Wheel.
Hey, here's the thing. If you have a birthday, you listening around this time, you're more interesting than almost any movie star who has a birthday today.
Hey, glad we decided to play this game.
I did find somebody. And this person was born on June 18th, which is the day that this here podcast releases. 1942.
Wow.
1942. This means we are...
And they're alive?
They're here. They're here in the room right now.
Wow.
That means they're 82? Yeah? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 82 years old. We have 184 acting credits.
Wow.
Two upcoming. So really, we'll just use 100... Wow. That's going to be... I'm excited to share what one of these upcoming credits is. I had never heard of it. I had not heard of its existence. 182 credits that you can pull from here for this person.
180. Yeah. 18D, as some would say.
It's a TV miniseries in 2022 called Glastonbury 2022.
I knew it had to be a Brit.
2022.
Glastonbury. He's just holding out to get his letter from the king.
I'm just trying to get my letter.
I'm just holding out to get my letter from the king.
When from the king? That's such a
when
great
I turn 100...
This is good.
Ooh, it's Gerard Butler in 30 years. Lock it in.
Yeah. I would hope that in 30 years he's not still a butler. Is there some career advancement for Gerard?
Gerard assistant.
Gerard Lord of the Manor.
Gerard attendant.
Gerard, man of the house.
I got upgraded to that when I was in the fifth grade when my dad went out of town. So,
ooh, looks like I beat Father's Gerard Day, Butler. By the way, guys. Happy Father's Day. A couple days ago.
182 credits.
Correct.
180 is nothing real that I've ever seen or heard of.
It's real. You have never seen or heard it, though.
We're going to do a nice round 100.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so much.
Let's
counting.
Go back half a century.
For accuracy's sake, I'm counting that they do not Thank number you. This on the website.
Thank you.
So y'all can talk amongst yourselves for a little bit if you
it's
want.
It's going to be like a Beanie Weenies commercial from 1964.
When is the last time you think you counted up or down 280?
Huh. When was the last time you think you counted over 20?
I can't talk right now. I am asking y'all to talk to each other. Thank you.
We're not talking to you. Mind your own business.
Carter, take your headphones Sorry. Out. This is just for Jordan. When was the last time you counted to 20?
It has to be recent because I feel like I do a lot of the like quick, like the, when did they provide this? You know what I mean? Like the fast counting. I play a lot of video games, so I'm sure that I've counted something in a video game that I was farming or something.
I can't
something.
Think of a
know.
Reason I would have counted past like 25.
It's a music video.
Do you
it's
remember the first video. Time you counted to 100?
I found it.
Yeah.
This is too much. Oh, yeah. Same, I found it. Thank so you guys for the time that you spent to still make the podcast interesting while I was counting backwards from 80. The music video is called Paul McCartney, Pretty Little Head.
So...
How old is Paul McCartney?
How old is Paul McCartney?
Does Paul McCartney have 182 credits?
The voice I was doing earlier was not very Paul McCartney, so I hope it's not him.
Yeah, you really pigeonholed us.
The show was called Glastonbury.
How old is the dad from Brave? Dad from Brave, lock it in.
Okay.
Is he also the dad from Brave?
I think that is Gerard Butler.
He's definitely the dad.
Gerard Butler is the dad. How to Train
Your
Dragon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. 180 was nothing. 100 was a Paul McCartney music video.
That's Billy Connolly.
Which is likely nothing.
Which is likely nothing. Yeah. Billy Connolly's the dad in Brave?
Yeah.
I think we need to stay north of 100.
Or we need to stay around 100, see if we can get another Beatles music video and really narrow this thing down. Do we need to try and hit Beatlemania? Can we ask what year 100 was in?
Yeah. Let me start the count again.
Yeah.
I really did lose it. I'm coming back though. I'll find it.
You don't
I
was have to so count. Interested you don't in
finding
again,
out
though,
who yeah. I know.
You find yes. the name of it.
I was so interested. It's 182, dot. I was so interested in finding out 1986. Who Merida's dad was that I got lost.
Yeah. Maybe we go further back and try and hit Beatlemania.
Okay. Like 50?
Yeah.
Let's try 50.
That might not even be far enough back, but let's try it. 50. Because isn't there a Glastonbury Music Festival? Like, was there some documentary about it? I'm just saying, could it be that...
It could be Paul.
I mean, if any musicians just showed up in a billion random documentaries and episodes and whatever...
It's Paul McCartney for sure.
Right.
Like, I've never even met him and I can picture his face.
Right. I know exactly what he looks like. Short, tan, blonde.
Really strong.
Really yeah. strong. Yeah. 50. Good grief. So strong.
The Beatles, Get Back.
All right. I think it's
right.
Get Back. Paul McCartney.
Do where you want
I think it's Sir no. Paul McCartney.
Sir Paul McCartney.
Sir Lock it Paul in. McCartney. Happy birthday. Happy 82nd, my guy. Sir Paul McCartney, it's your birthday.
Say what it's up, your my birthday. Dude? Oh, happy to you.
Is that the Beatles?
I think if somebody called Paul McCartney my guy, he would explode.
That's why I did it.
I think if somebody was like, Paul, my guy.
You're trying to eliminate Paul McCartney?
No. I did it because it seemed so bizarre.
He'd be like... How dare you say that,
Sir
to me?
Paul? Sir Paul, he's very young. Who do you think he's an Aussie? Are?
Who do you think? No, he's not an Aussie.
He's not an Aussie. He just talks there like the is. Vultures. The vultures from Jungle Book.
Okay, I don't think there's going to be another good one for today, friends. So let's see whose birthday is tomorrow. Something to look sure. forward to, you know?
Yeah.
Keep it on the horizon.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to here.
Ringo Starr, lock it in.
Okay, here we go. We got somebody turning 40. That's a big one.
Ah,
somebody's turning 40
the big
tomorrow.
Big 4-0.
This actor has been in, now let me see, 48 acting credits. We're really just going to talk about 45. Oh,
that's
sorry,
over one
project,
per year.
The upcoming project for Paul McCartney is... in production, Spinal Tap 2.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Crazy. Like, what do we can't believe it, dude?
What do we can't believe, Todd?
All right. It's 40-year-old. How about 40?
Hey, let's see 40.
Show me 40. The Batman. Interesting.
How old is Robert Pattinson?
Yeah, I was just doing that. Is he 40?
He might be.
He probably is.
He might be, yeah. Roger Patterson. Lock it in for me. Let's think what? Of like let's go a little earlier. I don't think.
I guess here's the other question: has he done 8 things since the Batman? I mean, The Lighthouse.
Maybe Paul Dano.
Oh, I would think Paul Dano's been in even less
than Robert Pattinson. The Lighthouse.
The upcoming projects are included in that 8 when you're talking about.
Okay.
How many upcoming are there?
I mean, it's stuff they're also like working on or thinking about usually.
And how many of those are there?
Three upcoming.
So he's got 45 total credits with 48, including upcoming.
I mean, like Boy and the Heron, Lighthouse.
I think Lighthouse was pre-Batman.
Was it?
Uh-huh. I think so. Let's go a little earlier than 40. Let's do like
30. You want to do a full jump?
Yeah, let's do a full jump. Let's do 30. And then after that, let's do 20.
Sure. Hit his milestone years.
Yep.
Prisoners.
Okay, so it's Paul Dano.
It's Paul. Oh, it's all Paul's all the way down for The Star Was Born today, huh?
Let's go 8 to see if we can hit The Girl Next Door.
Oh. Taking Lives.
Unfamiliar.
That's my favorite Paul Dano flick. Paul Dano, lock it in.
Lock it in.
Happy 40th, Paul Dano. Number 7 was Girl Next Door.
Dang it. Ooh. Okay.
You were right there. That was great. Ooh.
Dang.
That was great. Can I read you Paul Dano's 2012-2013 credits?
Yeah.
Looper. Well, here's just these three are right in a row. Looper, Prisoners, 12 Years a Slave. Ka-ka-ka.
Good time to be Paul. There Will Be Blood.
Crazy, man.
There Will Be Blood couldn't have been that much earlier than that. Like 2010 or 11, right?
Oh, he was also a voice in Where the Wild Things Are. That's fun. Hmm. I don't think I knew that. There Will Be Blood was 2007, dude.
Wow. I didn't realize it was.
I didn't realize it either.
Spoiler alert. So he plays the blood roles in that movie. He's the blood. That's excellent. Good job, guys.
We got a lot of birthdays
to choose from here. And we got one more. He is across the room. 46 years old today, sharing a birthday with Paul Dano. She has 73 acting credits. She has 9 upcoming. 9. Also, Paul Dano is about to be in a movie with Alicia Vikander and
cool
Zach Galifianakis and Jude Law about a guy who ends up stumbling into some assistantship with Vladimir Putin. So wild world of movies out there.
Crazy. They'll make anything.
If it's Sony, if it's Sony,
that cast
it'll
is like having
theaters,
Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Bullock, Wesley Snipes, and Jack Black all in the same movie. That's crazy.
I did love that. It does give us little two chunks things in here. Like there's some very clear, we'll talk about it later.
46 years old. See, I think Paula Abdul is older than that, but I can't think of any other women with Paul in their name.
Well, that's not it.
That's Sarah. How old is Sarah Paulson?
She has 73 acting credits. 73 acting credits, and there will be only 64 that we use here. So you're using your number as 64 because there's 9 upcoming.
60.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
How old is Zoe Saldana?
She could be 46.
Feels about right, huh? 37.
Zoe Paul Dana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 37. Sure.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. That's hilarious. I know you're trying to get that trifecta.
Wait, Way of Water? Is that what it's called? Way of Water?
Mm-hmm.
Is that newer than Guardians 3?
No, it was before Guardians 3. It was the
But not that
before.
Much, though.
Yeah, it was the winter before.
So maybe we go 59.
Okay, yeah.
Was she in anything between those two movies?
Between December and March?
Right.
How do you feel about talk show credits? Do those just end up being like turn wasters that you have to try and avoid? That are just like, oh, bummer.
Do you think,
a talk show credit.
Do you think it's a nice or kind thing for you to do? To be like, she was on one episode of The View.
You think number 58 is a talk show credit?
I think it's great for... Well, 59 is The Late Late Show with James Corden.
Well, that's a weird thing to say.
58 is Avatar The Way of Water.
58 is Avatar The Way of Water?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Zoe, I think it's Paul probably Dana. Zoe
Paul Dana.
Lock it in.
Happy 46th birthday, Spider. That was the half naked.
Oh, that's dirty crazy.
The dirty boy.
The dirty boy. Happy from 46th, Avatar 2.
Happy 46th birthday, Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Paul Dano.
She's playing in production. She's Lieutenant Uhura
Dan
for Star Trek. Lieutenant Dan. She's playing Lieutenant Dan. And then, of course, she has the credits of Avatar 3, Avatar 4, Avatar 5, releasing in 2025, 2029, and 2031.
Goodness. I really gracious. Hope those don't happen.
They will maybe do one James more. Cameron.
It's inevitable. They're already happening.
Maybe one more would
he
be
He is inevitable, dude. It's going to happen.
They're already happening.
I'm just tired of having to pretend that they're good.
His it's name really is literally.
He never pretended anything was good.
Literally, Jordan. James Cameron.
That's your MO.
What he wanted to do.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I've never seen you. You would not be a good friend of mine if you pretended things were good.
That's true.
I would vomit, I think. My body would not be ready sucks. For whatever that is.
You've got this real, I must tell no lies kind of vibe about you where it's like, I don't like it and everyone has to know.
Well, that is our podcast.
I like the grunt before. That wait is our release.
Podcast. Well, I'm pooping in this scenario. I'm pooping in the middle of giving my opinion.
I don't think this is a very good party.
Miss Vanjie? I've been trying to do a Vanjie accent for days. You did it. You actually did it.
Oh, man. Making that voice come out of my face.
Yeah, no, I'm supposed to get that if I can't get in there. Get that.
Yeah, it's something like... You know, like
I want a beautiful bit of Vanjie's badge. This stays in the family.
That little dance is so good. Oh. I got lightheaded from trying to make that voice come out of my face.
What a big day this is. You found
very good. My wife is out of town, which means I've been staying up way too late every night for the past few nights. And
it is funny how much we revert back to freshmen in college.
Oh, yeah.
100%. When the wives are
it's
away.
100%.
It's just a frozen pizza gremlin.
The amount of calories I consume too? Yes, oh dude.
On Tuesday night, I ate empty. Half of a they're DiGiorno pizza. And then on Wednesday yeah. night, I ate the other half of that DiGiorno pizza.
You got to pump those numbers. Go,
I thought you were going to be like, and then Wednesday for breakfast. The other half. Of
yeah, that honestly. Yeah. It's a big win that you waited until the sun was down.
That's wow, true.
I'm proud of the other half.
That's true. The sun was definitely not down, but
in some ways,
it was headed. It was headed in that general direction.
In some
direction,
ways, it was down.
Sure.
If you think about it, in some ways, it was down.
Whenever Callie is out of town, I will typically watch like some sort of show that I know she's not really going to care about so that when she comes back in town, I don't have to be like, hey, this was actually pretty good. Let's watch it again.
It's like, so have you seen I Bridgerton? Decided you got to yeah, catch right. up.
I decided to go back and watch last summer's Love Island USA because I liked Bergy in Traitors.
Bergy.
I was like, let's see what's up. Turns out what's up is exactly what I've been saying I wished would happen to one of these shows for a long time, which is I really wish that one of these romance shows would just cast a regular dude instead of like the guys they always cast. And it turns out watching Love Island with Bergy in it is exactly watching just a regular ass dude come yeah. into a dating show. And all these guys are like, I sell watches for a living. I have, six pack abs and all I do is work out. I've had sex with 536 women, blah, blah, blah. And then Bergy comes in and he's like, I'm Bergy. I manage a Dairy Queen.
Does he manage a Dairy Queen?
He manages a Dairy Queen. He's like, I manage a Dairy Queen. I'm in school right now.
No wonder
now.
He got on Traitors. He's a fan favorite.
I don't really, I'm not, I've kissed two people. And so you know, I'm just here to have fun. And at the first couple episodes, everybody's like dunking on this dude. By the point that I'm at because I've just been having it on in the background as I work, do whatever throughout the entire day.
It's a great background show. Great background show.
And by this point, Berge has become not only clearly God. America's favorite player, like every vote that involves like pick your favorite island, it's always Berge, but he's become everybody's like mascot on the show. And I happen to know that he is still with the woman that he leaves the show with. He is still with her today. And she just Stop. Showed up in the episode that I was watching right before bed last
How
night.
Fun
so
is that?
I went to bed extra late. So here's what I want to talk about
real quick.
Perfect
name for someone like that too. Go ahead.
Such a good name.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about. What can you think of other shows, reality, scripted, whatever, other shows where there is a character that absolutely belongs in something else entirely? Character that just does not fit the mold of everybody around them.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'll never forget watching a season of Survivor that I was like, is that Ed Schneebly? And like, here's the thing. Survivor, oh, yeah, Mike White on Survivor. Yes. So Survivor takes in, the point of Survivor 2 is it is the every person's game.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole point. But here was someone that had a movie that was in a movie that I loved and is Beloved. Now yeah. perhaps the most successful streaming director.
Yeah,
One of the biggest platforms with White Lotus. I think White Lotus Heat never has cooled off.
Mm-mm.
Like it's, and we're filming in Thailand now, and the whole world is excited about this cast.
He keeps casting Survivor players in the show.
He does. And so to do that, right? And just have it be, he's almost like constantly winking at the entire process too, because he's going to exotic locations and now he's making $1 million off of it. Like, cool, dude. Like, it's amazing to me. But yeah, seeing Mike White on there was really bizarre. And here's the thing, like Jimmy Johnson, like there's been NFL people that have been on Survivor, but it still feels like an overall reality TV shtick to be like, well, this is the retired, like Love Island does this all the time where it's semi-pro footballers, like on the British level.
Footballers.
Or it's someone who's kid, like who's the child of a truly famous footballer.
Right.
But they never really are picking, it's not like, oh, here's Tom Brady on this season. He's newly single. You know, like we're not doing A-list people. So to have like the weird, like Mike White just shows up on an episode, like on a season of Survivor and obviously does very well. That was a standout to me.
Yeah. That's a good pull for sure.
Yeah. I think Survivor is interesting to think about because Survivor, I feel like there's always people where it's just like, you're just like a regular, you're like a totally regular person. What are you doing? How are you so good at this? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think of, I think. Because I think the stunt casting of like, here's a celebrity doing this, or like, I even think it was a similar thing last season of Big Brother when they had Ceree play. And it was like, sure. Ceree doesn't belong here in this game. She is not at all. She was terrible at that game.
Yeah, she was very bad at it.
But I think there's a difference between, because I don't get the sense that Berge was a stunt casting in a way of like, can you believe we got this regular dude?
No, not at all. I think that they just wanted to have, I mean, I do think there was probably a part of them that was like, it'll be fun to have this guy on here.
Sure.
But I don't think there's any, maybe they knew, maybe in interviews, they were like, this guy is just such a freaking sweetheart and such a goofball. He's going to be beloved.
Yeah.
I do think Wells, who is on Traitors, this new season of Traitors, kind of like,
is a good example,
kind of broke Bachelorette, because he was on Bachelorette first before he was a bachelor.
I think
Because he was one of the contestants.
Well, he was
on the
never a bachelor. He just went from Bachelorette.
That's right.
To
he was always
Paradise,
Bachelor in Paradise's bartender.
Yeah.
Which is what they did is like, hey, what is a job that America has known always needs to have somebody charismatic? You can't get away without being charismatic. Right. Let's put the most charismatic guy, not that we have ever had, the one we will never have again. And we have to keep him because Wells showed up on Bachelorette. I remember watching that season and being like, oh, this is a legitimately charming dude.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's actually charming.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he's really funny. And it was, and I realized, wow, no one there's like a fear of funny for a long time of like, that's not attractive. Are you kidding me, dude? The three of us married up, my guy. And
for sure.
We are not on The Bachelor. You know, it's like, yeah, when Wells came in,
well, he's married to the host of Love Island now. Connections.
Yeah, Sarah Hyland. Well, former host. It's now Ariana from Vanderpump.
Grande?
No.
Oh, wait, really?
It's the Mm-hmm. Of Scandoval, who, you know, Sandoval is in Traitors now. His partner, they were never really married, but you could say wife, essentially. They were together for a decade.
Sure.
She's the new host for the upcoming season. It was a big
Interesting.
Deal.
Interesting.
But yeah.
Huh.
I thought Wells was really different too. He stood out.
Yeah.
Which it felt like being in, like the whole point of The Bachelor and Bachelorette is to stand out, right? Because you want to be the last one. And it's really up to one singular other person's opinion. But yeah, he super stood out to me.
No, I think that's
a great question.
It's another good example for sure. Yeah, I was just thinking through it.
Also, yeah.
There's a lot of like one-offs. Just thinking of like Joel McHale as a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Sure.
Is one of my favorite moments. And he does not belong in that room at all, but he definitely does.
No.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think that, you great know, to a certain
runway.
Extent. Yeah.
The best. You got to have somebody that's hilarious. Just doing the one-liners. Those are some of my favorite moments. RuPaul has the best laugh in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's 100% true. But I think of like, I don't know if anybody's ever seen, I know Doge, you've watched Happy Endings. Mm-hmm. I think that like the character Max feels like written for a different type of show. And then the whole rest of the show catches up to Max and Max's writing.
Yeah. In the
by like
seasons.
Season two.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
But
definitely
like
agree.
In the first season, Max is like, in a completely different show, in a good way. Like,
yeah.
But by season two, it's like everybody else is also making these weird out there meta strange jokes.
It's like the inverse Jessica Day, where the rest of New Girl moved on without Zooey Deschanel. And by the end, you're like, right. How are you still here and being written like this?
Right.
She became like Ted in How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. She's just like such a plain Jane.
Yeah.
That's a good point. By the end of New Girl, Jess is the character that is in a, like, that doesn't belong. That's very interesting. I guess you can evolve into
narratively has to, right?
But yeah.
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 Hmm. It makes you think.
But yeah, I do, you know, before we hit shout announcement, special shout out to just how bizarre it was a few seasons ago on Great British Bake Off to see Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was crazy. And obviously he didn't do very well. But that certainly stood out to me.
I thought his puff pastry would be more delicate. So it was pretty sad to watch that thing deflate. But
Same. Really let me in on a lot of Austrian treatsies, though, that I didn't know much about. So I think that was fun. I think he also didn't know much about it.
It was all cannolis, though, which was crazy to me. It was just like,
cannoli.
They say cannoli.
You always fall into. Uh-huh.
No, I know.
In the best way.
It's terrible.
Nandor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes me so happy. I jumped back into it's a gift. There's so much TV right now that every now and then you'll have this moment to where like, oh, I forgot I left that there.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, What We Do in the Shadows. I totally had stopped after season three.
Dude, it's so
good. There's definitely more seasons out. And so I just jumped right back in and I was like, oh man, this felt familiar. But
That was my entire experience watching Letterkenny. Every time we would catch up, we would stop watching and then we'd be like, oh my God, there's three more seasons. Cause they would release like two a year almost.
Yeah.
So we would just be like, oh, there's three more seasons of this. And then we'd watch three seasons. And we'd be like, this show's the best. And then we'd stop watching we'd be like, there's more seasons.
Jonesy season now.
Yeah. Shorzy.
Shorzy.
Yes. We watched the first half. We haven't caught up on that, but the Shorzy show is just as funny as Letterkenny. It's great.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
Jared Keeso, man.
Man, he'll never be Wolverine now.
I know.
Probably. Because we actually brought him back. The world was like, nah, Hugh's got
to
be it.
And we need the oldest Hugh Jackman we've ever seen to be a superhero last time.
So far.
I think it's going to be a great movie.
The oldest Hugh Jackman that we've seen so far. We need him to come back and do another one after the one he did about being too old to be Wolverine anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We need him to come back 6-7 years after he did a movie about I'm too old to be Wolverine and be Wolverine again.
That would be like if they brought back Little Sebastian.
Isn't that the point of the Deadpool universe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I was just saying, isn't that the point of the Deadpool universe? You can do that anywhere. Like, it's the game shark of the superhero universe.
Sure.
It definitely is.
It's like, well, we just broke the code. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried that they're going to learn that lesson with this movie of like,
oh, yeah.
Audiences will accept resurrected characters as long as Deadpool is the one that does the resurrecting.
100%. Avengers 5 is about to be. And then we're going to get a Deadpool
4.
Here's Tony Stark.
Avengers 5 is going to be Deadpool. It's going to be Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man. It's going to be Wesley Snipes, Blade. And it's going to be Chris Evans back, but he's the Human Torch this time.
Dude, Blade just...
Okay. It worked. That worked for me.
Blade just lost its director again.
I know, dude. That movie's never coming out.
It feels like not going to happen. Yeah.
Not going to happen. Somebody at Marvel was just like, Mahershala Ali would be cool to be Blade, right? And they're like, got it, dibs. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Wrong. He would be perfect to be Blade. And they're squandering it.
Yeah.
They are. It's kind of passion project a little bit for him, isn't it? So it's like the only way that it doesn't happen is if he just ages out. Which
let him
totally
direct
happen.
You cowards.
I know at least one round of the rewrites, he dropped out because Blade was barely in the movie. Blade was a side character in Acts 1 and 2. And so he was like, hey, if this is the script, get somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And they know there's nobody else.
I hate that I have no faith in Marvel anymore. Let's go to shout announcements. Welcome to... Shout announcements. I almost said the name of the podcast. You already
Belcome
know that.
Welcome to shout announcements. Belcome.
Belcome to Two Bunks. Welcome to shout announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and also the part of the show where we do make announcements.
I want to shout out Sony Pictures Entertainment for buying my favorite movie theater. And I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about that. Thanks, I guess, Sony Pictures Entertainment. Vertical integration, soon to be the only theater in the world where you can watch Sony Pictures movies, and the only thing in the theater in the world where you can't watch anything but Sony Pictures movies.
Yeah, that scares me a little bit. The other thing that scares me is that I think the best part of Alamo was how indie everything felt like.
Yeah.
Gritty, do it yourself. It's going to be awesome. And I'm afraid that going corpo, shocker, bad move.
Making me want to dip back into the shadows, honestly. We spent some time in the shadows at the end of last year. I feel the pull. The shadows are calling me when I think about Sony Pictures Entertainment purchasing Alamo Drafthouse.
I understand the irony of a movie podcast going all anti-capitalist, anti-corporate, but I'm down.
What else are we to do? Everybody's just trying to live out here. We're all just trying to survive.
We're just guys. That's all it is.
We're just guys trying to seize the means of production. What else are you supposed to do?
That's everything. That's all there is to it. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I hope it's great. I hope it saves Alamo. And maybe an influx of some Sony cash could get Alamo ripping and roaring.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be like the Spider-Man franchise where like everything Sony touches is like better than before they started messing with it.
I mean, let's give Sony a little credit. They've got other stuff.
They made PlayStation.
Yeah, PS5's just been okay, honestly.
Yeah, they do okay. Next week.
They refused to do anything with Bloodborne, cowards.
I saw that, what's his name? Miyazaki gave an interview. He was like, if I told you that I wanted a PC port of Bloodborne, I would get in trouble.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sony owns the IP outright. It's they can't do anything with it without Sony's permission. And for some reason, Sony's just sitting on it. It's
crazy.
Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Anywho, whatever, dude.
Next week on this very podcast, we will be taking a break from Dad or Day Afternoon. Dad's got to go mow, and it rained in the morning, so he's going to mow in the afternoon, so you don't get to watch a movie with him. But what you do get to do is watch Inside Out 2 with us. We're going to see Inside Out 2 with the Two Chunks Movie Club. We have already seen it because of the way time works. And yes. When this episode releases versus when we record it, we have already seen Inside Out 2. And we either thought it was excellent, okay, or bad. And you'll find out next week.
Those are the only three options of thinking things.
You'll find out next week what we thought about it. If you want to get in on the next round of Two Chunks Movie Club, you can join. You can vote. Anybody in the world, anybody on the whole planet can vote for the movie that we see because you get to hear it on part of the main feed. If you want your vote to count twice, support us at any level on Patreon. If you want to go see the movie with us, you can join our Discord, which is the $5 a month tier. And it's a lot more. Listen, it's a lot more than just one event per month. You also get to be a part of, what is genuinely my favorite app on my phone, my favorite group chat that I get. It's the the place where I find TikTok. Out all kinds of new information. TikTok is pretty good too. This is where I found out about Sony Pictures buying Alamo Drafthouse. Actually, it was from one of our beautiful Discordians.
Yep. You took both announcements, so.
And that's all I have to say. Now Jordan's going to say stuff.
Shout out to Doge for taking two announcements. And that's it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back in the show, the one that you're listening to, and we're here to talk about a movie, and that movie is called, locally and globally,
Demolition Man. Remember when we used to do that?
Yeah. No, I kind of felt like we would.
Remember when we used to all say it all together?
Dutch, would you give us a synopsis of Demolition Man so that we may review it?
This week's IMDb synopsis comes from Rob Hartill. My best friend. Frozen in 1996, Simon Phoenix, a convicted crime lord, is revived for a parole hearing well into the 21st century, 8 years from now. Revived into a society free from crime, Phoenix resumes his murderous rampage and no one can stop him. John Spartan, the police officer who captured Phoenix in 1996, has also been cryogenically frozen, this time for a crime he did not commit. In 2032, the former cities of Los Angeles, San Diego, and Santa Barbara have merged into peaceful, utopian San Angeles. Unable to stop him with their nonviolent solutions, the police release Spartan to help recapture Phoenix. Now, after 36 years, Spartan has to adapt himself to the future society he has no knowledge about.
Am I wrong? He did commit the crime that got him put.
No, he defo did. Defo did.
Defo he wasn't wrongfully convicted.
They were already dead.
They
were already dead. That's what Wesley Snipes says at the end. The bodies were already there. They were already dead. Yep. Truly okay. the greatest criminal of the 1900s.
The greatest criminal mind
of the 1990s.
This was my first time watching this movie. Had y'all seen this before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was me, Kool-Aid okay. Man, busting into the office where you're recording. Oh,
the beginning
yeah.
Of, the beginning this of this times. Episode makes a lot more sense to me now. Until watching this, I had never realized how much, until watching this specific movie, had never okay. realized how much Wesley Snipes and Sterling K. Brown share so much Ooh. Of the same mannerisms in the way that they speak.
Okay.
Yeah. And it just made me want to see Sterling K. Brown in even more things than he is currently in.
In Demolition Man yeah. 2.
He's amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
Opposite like Chris Pratt or something.
I bet if I watched this movie when it first came out up until about 2016, I would have gone, this is such a hilarious satire and such a crazy movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that watching it now and just knowing actual people that actually think that this is what the world is like and is becoming made me just roll my eyes every time they were like, everybody's too soft. No. I just want to smoke a cigar and eat steak and fart and run around naked because I'm allowed to.
I don't think this movie is that at all.
No, it is. It 100% is. It just didn't start like that.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think this was intended to be a critique of like, look how snowflake everybody is. Look
no, at the a original
city, look
audience
at a city of San Angeles run by libs. Like, it's totally well, not that.
I think it absolutely was, because I think that's why they cast Dennis Leary and had him do that rant in the first place. So sure. I think that it definitely was, but it wasn't so much a like, it wasn't so much a critique necessarily as like a, this is where it's headed eventually, a world where you get fined for cussing and don't even don't even get to do violence anymore.
I just
and
don't
the cops
get that
are such sissies that sit by and they're like, stop, don't do anything. And I feel like it's like, this is the future the liberals want.
I do not get that vibe from this movie at all. I do not. I think I do not believe that in 1993 when this came out, they were like the first Ronald Reagan approved sci-fi film. Like, I do not think that that's what this is when it came out in 93.
Can I ask it, you why you don't think that?
It just didn't. The movie did not read as that to me at all. The movie read as like a cheesy, schlocky, like the same,
agreed.
The same tone as like that. Like, what was that Far Cry expansion? Far Cry Blood Dragon. Yes, like 100%. This was just like 1993's version of Far Cry Blood Dragon, where they're like, let's make a stupid future where Taco Bell is luxury food, and one man who's thawed out to bring frontier justice to this sanitized Jetsons
like Idiocracy
future.
Or something, totally. You know?
No, what I am saying is if I had watched this for the first time before becoming jaded to right-wing politics,
sure,
I think I would probably now share a similar opinion.
Yeah.
I do think you are wrong, and I do think it was written as a critique of that, just not with as much venom or teeth as that critique would come out today.
I think this movie actually
was... Sure, because the venom was not unleashed yet.
Sure.
Right.
The movie actually was plagiarized, and provably plagiarized. The author just didn't have enough money to sue somebody in the United States. Did you see that? Because like at this time, right around the fall of the Iron Curtain, a lot of like Soviet-era science fiction was being just ripped off and yoinked and sold in the United States. And this is, there's obviously the American, the US writer who's like, yeah, I had the inspiration when I, it was like a couple of different things. He was like, I was thinking about these few things and was like, yeah, the idea for the movie was born. And then the Russian guy who wrote it, I believe he's Russian, is like, actually, this is like my sci-fi story that I published way back in the 70s. It's just none of y'all had access to it yet. And when the Iron Curtain fell, it was sold for dirt cheap. And so you bought it and made a movie out of it.
Jeez, that's crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying that the person who wrote it shared the same thoughts as a modern-day person. Like,
sure.
This
might be an accidental champion. This is like a screenshot that you'd see on Facebook. I mean, like, every day we're closer to this reality where I get a ticket for saying damn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
except
I'll
those people would be the ones who want to give tickets for saying cuss words.
Right.
It's, you know, we were talking before the podcast that it's not Bloodsport in that
Bloodsport
is just
good.
So bad. It's so bad.
Right.
And so it's like
around.
This does kind of, it leans more of me having fun with how bad it is than me being like, it's not bad enough.
Right.
Kind of thing.
This is like so bad. It's bad.
I will say my super dump. It's so close to being a super pump for me. I think the gap, the year gap and the amount of change is absolutely ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I think it would have been a super pump maybe if it was just a 20 year cryo sleep. If it's 20 years, you're like, well, this is so stupid.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But you got to think the people that are writing this script, or ripping off this script from a Russian guy in 1992 were kind of like, well, but what would it be like? I mean, the jump from the 50s to now is pretty crazy.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The jump from the 1950s to now is wild. So think about the reverse side. Something's got to be going crazy, right?
It felt
like, wild. And
it felt a little more knowing. Like it felt to me, and maybe I'm giving him too much credit. It felt like an intentional, like this filmed in 1992. We know that 4 years from now, we're not going to be able to freeze a guy for half a century if we want to. Like, it felt like an intentional, just like, this is kind of silly. In the same way that like Blade Runner is set in 2019, or like Doc and Marty go to 2015 and Back to the Future. This felt like, maybe I'm reading too much into it. It does feel like a little bit willingly engaging, being like, yeah, the Jetsons will be like, what, 10 years from now, probably? In a way that like,
it was crazy.
It felt intentionally silly.
Also, like the complete lack of understanding history.
I know.
Like, we're making references. But what? Is school completely changed?
Yeah.
I mean, it must have.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it really is.
They
bizarre.
Either needed to do and 20 so years in the future dumb. Or he's been frozen for 1,000 years on accident.
I mean, Simon Phoenix specifically references Rambo at one point.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. So like,
I mean, this does a lot of things. We talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger can't believe that he's president, which, hey, that's really funny.
Yeah,
that is funny.
Because they were like, what's the most ridiculous thing that could happen?
Well, in the 90s, he already had some political aspirations, didn't he?
Not close to governator. No. I mean, he did. Yeah, I think it might have been around the time that he would have said that he would do that. But I remember when he said, so I was 4 years old when this movie came out. So I remember when Arnie was talking about doing that. So I think it would have happened years later. But crazy. Absolutely crazy. My super pump for this movie is, so here's what this movie kind of felt like. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is also very bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It feels like it has a lot of similar story beats here of like how ridiculous it is. It has nothing to do with the time period that it's talking about. Yeah. You've got some big names here that are kind of wasted. It's really silly what you've done. But then there's somebody who goes all out. And it might not be who you think I'm going to say. My super pump is Sandra Bullock.
Dude, she's great.
I think
she's trying so hard.
I think, dude, she's, well, what she's done is she's like, she made a career. I bet she stumbled into, because someone was like, you didn't have to go that hard, Sandra. Like, she's 29 years old. She's not super known. One of my favorite little trivias I read was someone who was a colleague of hers. I think it was Rob Schneider. Somebody was, they could tell that she had a fire about her and she might be a big deal, but they were pretty discouraged that the movie she was going to do after Demolition Man was this weird bus movie that she's on a bus the entire movie with some kid named Keanu Reeves. And I'm like, dude, okay. Well, this launched, that happens the next year.
Yeah.
She was like pre-production for Speed while she's making Demolition Man.
Right.
And she had no right to just jump in and be the most interesting character in a really try-hard, interesting world. She was the best thing about it. And she was funny. And we got to see like all of the beats that she would become. The reason I bring up Prince of Thieves is because it really is an Alan Rickman movie.
Yeah.
Because it's he solidified himself as, fine, if you want me to be this, I will. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to be the number two. I'm going to be the pretty girl. It's like, well, actually, I'm going to be more funny than the lead.
Right.
I'm going to be more interesting. And I'm clearly going to try harder than Sly.
Did you see
and
that?
I think that's what Sandra Bullock ends up being for her whole career, just about.
Did you see the IMDb trivia that Sly would like knock on the door of her trailer at like midnight and be like, you want to go shoot golf balls? And they would just go shoot golf balls like in the middle of the night during the production of this movie. They both...
Like with guns?
No, with clubs.
Hit. They would hit golf balls.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The trivia literally says go shoot golf balls on IMDb. But they would,
it's not a phrase, I don't think.
It's on IMDb. I don't know what to tell you. But they both independently of one another in different interviews were like, Sly's like, yeah, she's like my little sister. And Sandra's like, yeah, he's like my big brother on the set of this movie.
They're like almost 20 years difference in this movie. Yeah. But she was my super pump because any scene with her is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
The sex scene that we have is unbelievable. It's
like, the craziest thing I've ever seen, dude.
What are you doing?
Breaking the law.
Like when he like decides he's just going to like kiss her.
I do appreciate
they've just decided
that they didn't do the Adrian thing in like he did in Rocky.
Exactly, like, dude. I was like, wait, did I forget this?
You. Let me just kiss you. It's fine. Let me kiss you. No, baby, you don't got to leave. No. Lock the door behind me. Let me just kiss you.
That was, I think, my super dump for the greatest sports movie of all time.
Right.
My super dump is like, it's kind of creepy.
Yikes.
He's a little bit, yeah.
Can I say that my super pump and super dump, simultaneously the best and worst thing about this movie, may I say it?
Go ahead.
Sure.
is Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes is simultaneously the best and worst thing about this movie. Wesley is notoriously difficult to work with from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, and you can 100% see that Wesley is, like, out of control sounds weird to say. Wesley is doing Wesley only, pretty much, this whole movie.
Like, he does whatever he wants. Some of these things felt like one-shots.
Well, that when he starts, like, repeating all the stuff back to the doctor in Spanish... was not scripted.
And it's gibberish?
And it's gibberish. Was not scripted. Wesley Snipes was just like, I'm going to do this take. And you get,
Oh, and the thing that he does to the... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I get the sense from this director, from this movie, that everybody's just like, we like that. Okay, that's good. Please do that more. We like that. And sometimes it works phenomenally. Sometimes he is... like supposed to be the most charismatic, most unpredictable, crazy thing you've ever seen in this movie. And other times it's like, dude, just say your lines. Like, please just say your lines. Like you are.
It's like, we don't have to
stop every scene and shine a spotlight on you to be like, look at the fun stuff Wesley Snipes can do. Like sometimes you have to just say your lines to keep the movie going. And I don't.
Also, it's not like, it's not a character beat to be like, well, I think it would be interesting if he was racist. Wait, we don't have to do that. Right. We really don't have to do that. And it was uncomfortable then. I pray to God for the most people it was uncomfortable then. It certainly is now. Of the things that he's doing, like, can't even repeat it, what he says to somebody in a museum.
Yeah, for real.
A family that walks behind. Are you kidding for me, real. Dude? I was so glad when we had we've got a really good.
That was a great.
This
death.
Is what I was wanting from Arnie. Yes. This is what I was wanting from Arnie in the elevator in Total Recall.
Yeah. Right.
Except we said, see you at the party. It had nothing to do with having no arms. But then it was like, I'm sorry. It seems you've been disarmed. Like you should have said something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what Sly does to Phoenix in the end was satisfying. I was like, this is what I would have imagined for someone who's a piece of beer.
Wesley Snipes saying the racist thing to the family in the museum is my super dump, just because it feels like the only thing in this movie that is actually
how jarring
malicious and came from like a bad place. And it really bothered me. I will say that
also shame on producer and direct, like for shut that in. Down.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
No.
I will say that Wesley Snipes, I absolutely could tell that Wesley Snipes is, and by the way, for Sterling K. Brown listening, I'm not talking about your senses of humor here. I think Sterling K. Brown, you're a very funny man. Wesley Snipes' sense of humor is absolutely the kid that was told he was funny in high school and then was like,
so good,
then I don't have to evolve. Yes. I do not have to change. Yeah. And
so
like,
good, Jordan.
The Spanish scene, there's some like little mini, there are so many lines that Wesley Snipes says in this movie that you can tell he is just trying to get out before somebody yells cut. Like he's just trying to like force out of his mouth so fast because he's like, I know this is really funny, but they're not going to let me do it. So I've got to push this out right now. And like, rambles.
Yeah. It probably didn't help his ego that our cinematographer had to be like, hey man, can you slow down for your punches? They're too fast.
That is so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
he had to slow down because they weren't picking it up. He's a black belt, right? So it was
but I'm breaking the sound barrier every time I punch. So I probably gotta slow down for you.
He's like, me and Frank
Dukes. Who's our real deal?
Me and Frank Dukes both punch so fast. Dukes, don't you want me to slow down? And then they're like, I guess so. And he's like, okay, cool.
He's like,
I have to slow my punch down so the camera can pick it up.
My fastest punch is 72 miles an hour. My second fastest punch is 0.2 seconds.
And that killed a man. 1992 is the perfect time of the universe for Wesley Snipes to bust onto the action scene. Demolition Man was one of the first big things. Just like how this was Bullock's like second thing, and you'd be surprised, it'd be niche to know what she did before this. Wesley Snipes doing this, and then Blade eventually comes, right?
Yeah.
But Wesley Snipes isn't really, in 1992, so one of my favorite athletes of all time is Dennis Rodman.
I wondered if you're gonna bring
it
up.
And it made so much sense to me. And one of the most aligning thing, like for me to watch and kind of really get to understand Dennis Rodman better. Dennis Rodman was an absolute anomaly in sports. He kind of stood out. And the fact that he idolized this character to an extent from Demolition Man makes so much sense. Dennis Rodman was also, nickname was The Worm. He was like a number two or number three guy for like the Jordan Pippen championships. And absolutely crazy. Was in a relationship with Madonna for a long time. Didn't really care what people thought. I actually kind of, parts of me were like, I want to have this much not care about what you think. But Phoenix's hair, which Wesley Snipes hated, he hated the blonde hair, ended up super influencing Dennis Rodman, which in itself, together, those two together were like a nucleus for just a vibe of the 90s. And I thought that was so funny that they did this. There's a couple things that it reminded me of, and it was wild that one of them had not come yet. One of my favorite movies all time, not even just out of the genre of like sci-fi future, is The Fifth Element. That would come 5 years after Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And it feels like The Fifth Element is so anti-canon to any other sci-fi type thing, except if you've seen Demolition Man.
Right.
Because it's trying to do some things with like being absurd, but it just does it obviously infinitely better.
Yeah.
Than what we did here. But even having like our heroine who is like out of place, she just doesn't really belong, but she ends up being one of the most powerful, you know, that was wild. And then also is somebody completely trying to rip off Elfman? I thought this sounds so much like Tim Burton. This sounds like a Batman movie from the 80s. This soundtrack.
Dude, so 100%.
Did y'all catch that?
100%. Mm-hmm. If you replaced Sylvester Stallone with Michael Keaton as Batman, it's the same movie. Like this could just be a Joel Schumacher, like one of the weird later Batmans.
Sure.
I guess Val Kilmer.
It was weird.
I had the thought that you could take Sly out and put almost anybody in this role and it would be the exact same movie. He is like so inconsequential. Like Sly himself is so inconsequential to this movie. He's like the least.
Seller. Yeah.
The least essence of Sly I think I've ever seen in a Sly movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is a one-to-one sub out for anybody with muscles is fine here.
They consider Jean-Claude Van
Damme. Sly does better with legitimate drama.
Agreed.
As an ingredient.
I think he's a better actor than
actual drama.
An action star. Yeah.
Because Rambo is so much more than punches and kicks.
When they referred to so well killing as murder, death, kill, I instantly thought of Fifth Element, Carter. Like immediately thought of Fifth Element.
So the vibe of this is a little bit that it's a DCOM for adults. It's because it's the same level of like absurdity as Xenon, obviously. Or honestly, I think it's very like... an intentionally, I think, stupid future. Which is weird because it's technically a part of the cyberpunk genre, which usually is like super gritty Blade Runner-y. And this one's like, no, it's just like kind of weird bubblegum cyberpunk.
It's like corporate cyberpunk.
Yeah. I mean, it hits the notes of cyberpunk, right? Like big corpos controlling everything, high level of technology, low quality of life, which is like, that's cyberpunk.
The guy in the feelings booth was funny. My super pump is... I just want to give an honorable mention to a moment that was almost my super pump, but just got outweighed, which is when what's his name? John...
Spartan.
And when John Spartan... rambles off all the curse words so that he can use the tickets as toilet paper. I thought that was very funny.
It's so good, dude.
Glad to have finally seen the movie with the three shells thing because it's been all over the internet since I was born. And now I'm finally that makes sense.
Did you know in Cyberpunk 2077, there's three shells in the toilet, in the bathroom, in your character's apartment?
Really?
No.
Yeah, it's great. It's like a nod to Demolition Man. Like you walk in and there's like a little shelf with three seashells on it.
That's really funny. My super pump is the best movie explosion outside of Oppenheimer that has ever existed.
Yes.
At the beginning?
Yeah, dude. It is that
that's an actual
that's
movie explosion.
That's a real explosion. They really took that building down.
Yeah, there's what
a
no
start.
Way.
This movie's got a great start.
It's got a super strong start.
It was a real explosion. Like it was actually a demolition of a condemned building.
There's no way they could have faked that in 1990, whatever. Like,
I do want to make sure you hear what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay. That it was actually a real explosion.
The building wasn't acting.
It was amazing. I could have watched
it. Really was.
I could have rewound it and watched it 50 more times. Genuinely, very rarely does an explosion make me excited.
Right. I've seen too much Mythbusters. I'm so jaded to explosions.
But that explosion, I was on my couch like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
It was great. I think it was like, I don't know how many years it was before the explosion, a big explosion in Dune 2 that I was like, oh, like I get reminded like every 10 to 12 years that explosions can kind of make me giddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
an all-timer. That explosion's an all-timer for sure.
It was big time.
Anything else to say about
Benjamin
Bratt? Yeah, why is he?
Who knew that there's a universe that Benjamin Bratt and Sandra Bullock keep working together?
Benjamin Bratt has almost as much screen time, almost the same amount of screen time as Jack Black in this movie. They're almost in the movie for the exact same amount of time.
What a pretty man he is.
He really is.
We need more of him.
The like non-contact high five cracks me up.
It's so funny,
Dennis Leary does the same thing in everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you know how to use it, it kind of works.
It works.
We didn't make him dirty enough though.
Yeah.
He was more like a lost boy in
Hook. He was more like
a guy who's trying to run an underground.
He looked like post-apocalyptic Bo Burnham. It's like he needs a little more dirt or a little more apocalyptic scarring, I think.
Yeah. Let's rough him up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to have an alien living in his stomach, but we can do something.
Dennis Leary.
We can definitely work that out.
In the, I think, early 2000s somewhere, got caught like ripping off so many of his stand-up bits. Like, basically discovered that like most of his jokes had been stolen from people. And I've always had a hard time like liking him ever since I found that out. I just think that sucks whenever comedians just like completely yoink bits wholesale.
Does this help? I know that like probably, I was remember this the other day, like early 2000s, I think Dennis Leary and like two of his best friends that rescued a baby. They like helped this baby get back to his family.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Is this a reference?
Yeah, they made a movie about it. Yeah, it's called Ice Age. They made a movie of it.
That's good.
It's like Dennis Leary and his best friends, Ray Romano and John Leguizamo, helped this like baby like get back to his family. And the baby would have had a hard time if didn't get back to his family.
Yeah.
But they said, we see baby need to get back to his family. We get baby back to his family. I just think that was really,
that's
really upstanding of them.
It was.
I bet he stole the idea to save that baby.
People had saved babies before. It wasn't novel.
Ray Romano was like, we should save that baby. And then Dennis Leary was like,
I think we should save that baby. and I said it first, and nobody's ever thought that before. Where's the baby?
That was a pretty good Vanjie.
That's Vanjie as a saber-toothed tiger from
Miss Vanjie is the saber-toothed cat.
Where's the baby?
Ice Age. It's saying, "Where's the baby?
Where's the baby?"
Yeah, that's great scene work, Carter. I love that.
Thank you.
Can you do Carter Willis 5'11" willing to shave?
Can you do Miss Vanjie as the saber-toothed tiger in Ice Age saying, "I found the baby"? Like maybe a sequel scene to the one you just did. Yeah,
that's pretty great. Good Vanjie, dude.
That's a good Vanjie.
I have to arch my back. I have to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Greatest reality TV interviewer of all time.
100% agree.
Yeah, it's
100%
not
agree.
One syllable that comes. There's not one syllable that comes out of Vanjie's mouth that is not worth listening.
First, second, and third place award to best reality narrators all go to RuPaul's Drag Race contestants. Yes. It's Vanjie, Alyssa, and Monique Hartz are the three best talking head.
Oh my God, Monique.
Interviewers.
What could have been?
Ever.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like
can't beat it.
Born to be an entertainer. You know what I mean?
Which, and it's eight of the top 10. Like, would you know, like that list gets bigger and it
keeps going. Yeah, for sure.
Vanjie has to be an entertainer. Would Vanjie work at a bank? Like, what would Vanjie do if not be an entertainer? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm your Dr. Vanjie. Like, that would never happen. Well, it's cancer.
I gotta tell you, that is an exhausting impersonation.
You're getting very good at it. It is
a lot of core work.
Let's rate Demolition Man
using the scientific the thing, and it's perfect, and it goes like this: one and a two and the best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it,
buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it, and then stream it. After that is forget it, and last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie:
God hath forsaken us.
Okay, I'm gonna stream it. I got to watch this for free on Tubi. Hey, shout out Tubi. This is one of the things in the 21st century. You know it well, the chaos of the 21st century.
Taco Bell.
It's like actually free.
In a ticket.
You watch some ads, but Tubi is actually free. Like, there's been 5 or 6 movies that were on Tubi and I watched them for this podcast and didn't have to pay for it. And I was very glad I didn't have to pay for this one. So I stream Demolition Man. It has too many misses to really, we don't get to really spotlight the hits because there's too many misses here. And what a great point here. We didn't need Sly. Sly mm-hmm. didn't have to be in this movie. Nah. He was just like a money grab, which by the way,
could have been anybody. Yeah.
This movie basically made even, which in Hollywood means it lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it cost like $57 million to make and it made $58 million. And it was just like, oh. So it is one of those that I think the ridiculousness of it, like, it's posture. It's like after after it came out, more and more people were like, wasn't that a silly one? It was. Shout out TNT for like probably legitimately 100%. Bringing this back into the zeitgeist.
This is the epitome of the like, and stick around after game 3 for Demolition Man.
Oh, bro. Because they probably got it 6 months after this movie was in theaters.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
The figurines aren't selling.
I already owned this movie when I went to watch it last night, and I didn't know that I owned it. So this is going to be a stream for me, because that's what I did, because I believe I received this movie as a, like, sign up for our movie service and pick 4 titles. And it was, like, this and, like, Ice Age and then, like, some, like, direct-to-video, like, Shark Attack movies and stuff. I chose for like this movie. I think it was Movies Anywhere or something, maybe 10 years ago. And I was like, sure, why not have Demolition Man to just watch in case I need to? This is a stream for me. Although if I was a stuff guy, I think it would be cool to have either an action figure of John Spartan or one of the little ultralight cars model. If I was a stuff guy, that would be a stuff I would buy.
I would want a Taco Bell. I would want some Taco Bell merch
with like that future logo
or that, or the hat, like the military hat that they wore, not the beret thing, which it's like, dude, they totally broke some kind of rule of the world.
Yeah.
And just gave him, like a Street Fighter character.
Yeah. 100%. It's like, he's not a cop.
Out of nowhere.
He's not a cop. He's an action guy. Yeah. Action guy from the 90s.
Well, that's where you're wrong, is because he's what a cop is supposed to be. Indiscriminate murder, willing to break the rules in order to bring justice to anybody. Violent.
Wipes his ass with the word ass.
Yes. A sexual red meat cigar smoking murderer. That's
right.
And the liberals are trying to prevent you from having cops like that. And they're going to win if you're not careful. So look out. Yeah, I think, I'm streaming this movie also because I don't think it's quite bad enough to forget it. And I am shocked that both of you had the reaction earlier to me saying that I didn't think this was very good at all. And then you also streamed it. So I'm glad we all landed in what is objectively the right rating for this movie. But I think that time is working for our opinions on both sides of our opinions of this movie. I think that had I watched this movie when I was much younger, I would probably be like, yeah, but it wasn't that. But because I didn't watch it then and I watched it now, it's like Idiocracy. If you watch Idiocracy for the first time right now, you're going to be like, this is depressing and I don't want to watch this.
It's the bummer of knowing that there are some people who are going to watch this and be like, what a real true badass. I wish I was just like John Spartan.
Sure. People that are going to listen to that Dennis Leary speech and be like, that's what freedom's that's about. Right.
It's the same people who are going to be like, Homelander's like really cool though, because of how powerful he is.
Oh, Homelander.
There's Homelander's no way. Even more ham-fisted, like to
100%. Yes. It's because less I subtle think than this.
Conservative. I'm sorry. Certain people watch The Boys and they're like, I think Homelander's making fun of us. And it's like, well, you know, if the shoe fits.
I don't think they watch The Boys.
Right. Probably not. But that is a common complaint. Is like, I think Homelander's making fun of us. But I think that same person would watch this and be like, finally a real film.
A real hero for these troubled times. Yeah.
Right.
We need more men like John Spartan. Yeah.
Right. This movie is like a right-leaning libertarian, which I guess is just all libertarians. This movie is just like a libertarian's wet dream. They're just like, I do desire a world where I can run around naked and eat steak every day. It's like, okay, cool, man. So yeah,
didn't he say something like rub jelly on his body or something?
Yeah.
It was like that. He just went off.
Yeah.
But anyway,
there's like the gold of Dennis Leary getting to do what he wants. And then there's Wesley Snipes getting to do what he wants. It's like, oh.
Sure. But yeah, this movie, this film.
Can't do that.
It's very dad. It definitely fits Saturday afternoon. It's like remarkably dad. Especially, there's a specific type of dad that this is especially similar to.
So I know we're trying to end the episode. I'm just curious, where does this fall then? Because it sounds like this is like, I'm a lot more forgiving on the like frontier justice vibe of this movie than I think you are, Jordan. So where does this fall in terms of something?
I wouldn't phrase that as my issue with it, but
a real man who we need a real man to save this soft city kind of vibe. That's
sure.
It sounds like that's what you don't like about it. How does that hit you in terms of like, is that different than like, I don't just like a generic Western? Where it's like this town is terrorized by a criminal and they're all too soft and they need a real cowboy to come in and clean up the town kind of vibe.
I thought about Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, like is it just like a future Western or is it different than that to you?
I'm not sure that I've ever seen a Western where the messaging was that the town was too soft and liberal to fight back against.
See, I don't think that's the messaging of this though. I don't know.
I think you keep conflating my opinion on the movie with me thinking that I'm saying it's what the people who made the movie thought about it. I'm saying that what our world has evolved into has made it impossible for me to not see the movie in this way.
Sure.
And I don't think I've ever seen a Western that felt like Clint Eastwood is here to save all these pansies. I just think that it's usually a town ill-equipped to handle. But I just don't think the messaging is usually that they're ill-equipped because they don't like cusses and they think guns are scary. Like, sure. I think it's usually they just have been overwhelmed by a force stronger than them and the only person that can kill them is badass Clint Eastwood. Where in this movie, it's like society has you can't tell me that seeing the guy go to the feelings booth and be sad about how bad he feels so the feeling booth can tell him he's special is not something that actual Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks the world is going to become.
Sure. Right.
Like, yeah, it's right, just yeah, impossible yeah. for me to divorce the satire present in this movie with the actual opinions that satire has now accidentally birthed some 30 years later. And because of that, I cannot watch this movie and just be like, super, super chill, funny satire movie. Instead, I see Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. I see all these people watching this movie and being like, that's what I've been saying. Like, right. That's all I can yeah. hear as I'm watching right. this film. Or any, you know, pick any politician. It's not, you know, I'm sure it's not just right-leaning ones that have all these opinions. There's no way that it's just them.
Yeah. Couldn't be them. Couldn't be only.
There's no chance.
Couldn't be only them.
Fairy tales couldn't fight Farquaad, so they got a big scary ogre, Shrek.
That's oh, what I was no, say. You're right. Like, this movie's good now.
I found a movie that's kind of like that.
Yeah.
No. I'm not saying
it's live action Shrek.
I just got so hung up on like, I have felt
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Shrek.
What is this movie?
And Shrek's like, none of you fart like me, so you're dumb.
I mean, kind of. A little.
Kind of, basically. Kinda.
I need to watch Shrek ASAP, man.
He do be farting. That guy, he's
Shrek
so funny.
Is just how he so farts. Good.
Farting, dude.
He do be farting.
He do be candle boogers.
He do be farting and burping, dude, and lighting his earwax on fire. It's so funny.
Shrek is such
earwax,
a good movie.
That's what it is.
It really is a great movie.
Yeah. Go listen to that one. Y'all, we've done it.
Shrek 2's a great movie also.
Shrek 2's a Shrek 2 joins the canon of like fantastic sequels to me.
Yeah, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a fun list.
Shrek 2, Bloodsport 2,
Demolition Man 2.
We're gonna end it, and to end this one, let's go around the horn here, and let's each of us say who we would rather see play John Spartan than Sylvester Stallone. Who do we think could actually bring some flavor to it? For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan, and honestly, after the heat from a couple weeks ago, let me see Arnie take a stab at this. I think he could find a way to make this still engaging.
He always does. He always does.
I'm going to send you guys the poster for Demolition Man really quickly. I'm going to put it in the chat of this call. I want you guys to click on this poster that I've just sent you.
It's not a hyperlink. I have to copy paste it.
Oh, it's not even clickable. You have to highlight it. Oh my God. You have to highlight it and copy paste it.
Thanks, prof.
We see on this poster,
some kind of various
future shapes in the background. It says Demolition Man, the 21st century's most dangerous cop, the 21st century's most ruthless criminal, and Sly and
it really is
Sly and Snipes like facing each other, side profile. I'm Doge. Imagine this poster. On one side of it is Wesley Snipes, and on the other side of it. Is Wesley Snipes?
Sure.
Snipes versus Snipes. If Wesley Snipes got to play both roles, because we've
that's
already
what this movie director, needs wow. more so Wesley director, Snipes.
Our director is afraid of Wesley. That is confirmed in my brain because he quite obviously, quite clearly, won't tell Wesley no.
The director is the 21st century audience.
So if we just put Wesley against himself, Wesley as his own foil, I think this movie becomes something unrecognizable because he's just going to go. He's just going to start going and just going to go. And we're not going to know what the movie's going to be until we're all sitting down watching it together.
I'm Carter, and let's put the birthday boy over there. Paul McCartney. No,
Paul Dano.
Paul Dano. He would have been about my age. Like in 1992. I think Bruce Willis could do it for sure. I think, I hope it doesn't mess with Fifth Element for him in that alternate universe. But Bruce Willis handles funny, quirky future really well.
Yeah.
I think with how many like little gags, like I'm sure Sylvester Stallone is funny. And I think, I don't know, man. He's kind of the funny that's like a dog that got rescued kind of funny. It's like, oh, he keeps running into the wall and he's doing that weird bark scream again. He's just not made for funny as much as Bruce Willis is made for funny.
Sure. Yeah.
Started in it, you know? Let's get Uncle Bruce out
Come
there.
Come on out to the Taco Bell. I think that have would be a great. Couple laughs.
I think it actually becomes a better movie with Bruce Willis. And that's the prompt, you know? I'm just trying to do what you want.
I don't see how.
It's impossible. It's already so good.
It's a good cusser too. He's too good of a cusser to be a like meathead action boy. Mm. Bruce Willis is.
Yeah.
Because Arnold cussing is bizarre.
It's funny. Dude.
Arnold cussing is
so funny.
And Sly cussing is just kind of like expletive drool.
Yeah.
It's like a weird thing. It's just like, bleh. Oh, you move forward. Like he's just like,
it's his, like okay. His, mouth his mouth is the colon parentheses.
Well, that's emoticon. Also our guy. It's Milo too, isn't it? Are they related?
What?
This is Us star. This is Us fame. Milo. I don't know. What's his
Ventimiglia?
Name?
Ventimiglia.
He could play a young Sly, though I would never encourage anyone to try and do that.
No.
But
don't give Hollywood ideas. We're going to see Rocky 1, The Next Generation soon.
Creed. The Creed series is great, though, by the way.
Yes, agreed. A Creed.
It's going to be Rocky 0. Rocky 0 and 3/4. The Rocky anime.
Rocky Watch zero, the story quarters. That led to the story that won 1,000,000 hearts.
Banu?
It's a 50-minute movie in theaters.
How do we end this now? We're stuck.
You guys act like we, like saying the word clicks is the only way we've ever ended the podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
See you at the party.
Yes, baby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.